podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
What's the story this week? Am I fucking your woman? I'm fucked up on a hot sleep pill. He said, she said, he said. to know the truth, cause whatever you're spitting, I'll send it right back to you. You pretend to understand, but what you stand for is a lie. Just wanna tear the smart up, hearts to suffer and die. The world's full of hypocrites and people lie. They just wanna borderline of innocence and victimize. Buckle up, it's gonna be a wild ride. I got an intention to leave you all scared and traumatized. You're not ready for what I'm sending above, but say enough is enough, but clearly we're out of touch. Shit. Not enough to pay bills, just enough to pay rent. If you wanna go and get it, they're always watching the skies. They just wanna watch you work until the day that you die. Fuck that, I'm not a cog in the system. You wanna kill me, but killing me is a mission. Rise up if you wanna stay alive. Get born, go to school, go to work, then you die.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, RootRootRadio.com, San Diego, California, XRPRadio.co.uk in Birmingham, United Kingdom, and right here in the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania, with our two red lights, buildascene.com/radio. This is episode number 604 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. And with me tonight, we're going to start out with Fernando. And then we'll get to the point momentarily. So for those of you familiar with Fernando, is from, I'm going to say this wrong, probably, Ambriac.
No, it's I changed it. It's Fernando de la Cruz Films.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's also part of First Angel Media, which I'm sure most of you watching are familiar with, because that's probably one of the ways you found us. So Fernando does some video work for unsigned and independent musicians, and that's, we're going to start off with that. And Fernando, how, Give a brief synopsis of what you do, like what your services are that you give out to the local bands.
Yes. So when it comes to working with musicians, a lot of times I do recap videos. I do music videos, love music videos. I even started doing documentaries for musicians so that they can have a backstory, so their eyes can have a personal connection with them. And now I'm starting to get back into photography now. So I'm doing a lot of I'm doing some concert photography once the snow goes away, because no one wants to go to a concert in the cold anymore. So, and plus COVID, and also do like portraits, band photos. So those are my services when it comes to musicians.
So we get that out of the way, because, you know, First Angel Media.
Yeah. I gotcha.
But, the reason that you're on tonight is talk about another project that you have going on. And I'm going to go ahead and bring one of your partners, the right word. Hey, he's not there. Indeed. That's weird. Charlie, are you there?
Yo, he's here. He literally just walked in.
Oh, nice. Well, then we'll take him off of that screen. There we go.
Charlie. Charlie. He's on his way. So it's me, Charlie, and Zay will be back in a couple of minutes, right after the break. So yes, me, Zane, and Charlie, we are now starting our own company together because we also been doing a lot of films lately. So recently, we just got done filming A Killer's Diary. Just a couple of days ago, we just got done, started filming Bachelorette. And now we're starting to prepare for another film next month called Lore 2. So we've been working with films nonstop. Ironically, we got together through films that were, or and series, web series that were a fail. But now here we are making great films and we're killing it. Like we started together like around like 2020. But if you really look at it, it was less. It's been 2 years, but if you really look at it, because me and Charlie were talking about this the other day, it's been less because of COVID, the lockdown, but we're still freaking hustling, still going. We literally got, like, if you look over here, we literally got a list of all the films we're trying to do this year. So
I can't believe how you did that perfectly. Most people, because it's reversed, can't figure out which way, including me, and I do it all the time. I'm like, it's there. Because it's weird looking at yourself in reverse.
Right. But yeah, like now we're like doing films nonstop together. Now we want to start a film company together, which will be Three Black Tops Productions.
Sure, so, 3BT.
Yeah, 3BT Productions. Yeah.
So what? Like, there were definitely horror films in that list. Is that your main genre?
So we mainly do horror films, but we're trying to get outside of that. So right now, we just started filming Bachelorette. So that's like a romantic comedy, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's romantic. Yeah, it's a rom-com. It's pretty much pertaining to, I don't want to give out too much information, but let's just say in a nutshell, a lot of things happen. Almost think similar to The Hangover, close to The Hangover. So yeah, It's going to be a very interesting project once we finish it. I think a lot of people will like it once they actually view it. So yeah, it's going to be a really good project. Mm.
So that made me think of one of the questions I do ask bands that will easily translate over. So there's an apocalyptic event and only a handful of people survive. Which one of the films that you've recorded so far could help repopulate the earth?
That's a hard one.
That is a hard one. Which one would repopulate the earth?
I haven't even heard that type of question.
So basically, what's going to put them in the mood?
Oh, probably Bachelorette.
Yeah, Bachelorette would put them in the mood if that was the case. Yeah. What else can I think of? Other projects?
Well, because Onset
is another one, which we're trying to make that into more of a, well, we can make it into a film or more of a web series.
More like a web series.
Web series. Yeah. Okay.
It started out as like a film because we recently did a 40-hour film last summer for Onset. So imagine like The Office, but it's about filmmakers trying to make a film on time before the 40-hour contest is over. So that's basically what it was about, but it was in the office concept. So you saw like the whole, like, you see the your person with the cameras, you see all the mics and whatnot, so that type of style. So right. It was a success. We didn't win anything, but everyone loved it, so we decided, why not make it a series? So
cool.
Yeah.
So there has to be script writing and casting, and how do you guys go about all of that?
So when it comes to the writing, Zane, he's not here yet, but he
wants to get ice cream.
Yeah.
We're gonna tell everybody.
I'm right back.
I need the ice cream for this.
yeah, he's mainly the writer. I write too, but it's mainly him that writes. And then when it comes to casting, we just go with first with people that we know, and then now we're starting to reach out to Facebook and whatnot, which literally like last month I did one post and it was booming of people that, of how many actors wanted to work with us. It was like freaking us. It was crazy. So that's how we mainly do it. And we're starting to try to get into doing more auditions to get the type of actor we're looking for when it comes to the characters that we want. So, yeah, it doesn't take us that long. I mean, it depends on the concept, especially when it comes to, like, if it's horror, that's mainly, like, if you notice, like, mainly our genre, because we're good at writing horrors. But we're trying to get more outside of that to show that we're well-rounded, not just one type of genre, you know? So, like, writing Bachelorette for Zane was really, really challenging because it was a comedy. So, but he did it with the help of Marlo, because she's a writer as well, and she's actually directing this film as well. So we're having other people to come into the group so that we can not just be as us. So we're trying to find other people because it's a lot on the three of us.
Yeah.
Well, two for now, but three. Yeah.
Once he comes back with the ice cream, we can say three.
Yeah.
He has no idea. He's not here. We're going to...
By the time he comes back, this will be all over. He'll be like, oh, wait, did I miss it? And I was like, yeah, ice cream, man.
So, being an equipment person somewhat, because if you go to my Build a Scene website, I have a page that is dedicated to just all the equipment that I use. What is your favorite piece of equipment that you use when you're filming?
No, that's for me.
Yeah, it's all you right there.
when it comes to the filming equipment, I like to use the camera the most. I love, people would say, because I own the A6400, the A7III, and the Pocket 4K. People would automatically think it's the Pocket 4K because it gives that red type of look. It's called the poor man's red. But for me, it's like I like the A7III more because I've gotten too used to using a Sony. Whereas Pocket 4K, it's a beautiful camera, but the what you have to go through for it, the work you're paying for the body itself, it's $1,200. Then you got to buy the lens. Then you got to buy the battery pack because the battery pack, the batteries it takes is crap. And then you got to buy an external storage. Then you got to buy a cord for the external storage to go into the camera. Then you got to buy a cage. And then you got to buy a grip. You see what I'm saying? It's a lot to handle. And it's about time it's done being built. It's freaking heavy, which it's the cinema camera. Cinema cameras are made to be built. But after a while, when you're on a time limit, like how we are, the A7III has great autofocus, great low, like it's a full frame sensor. And I already have a bunch of Sony lenses. And it's easy on the gimbal as well because it's lighter. Whereas the Pocket 4K is literally this wide. So it's hard to balance on a freaking gimbal sometimes. So that's why I like shooting with A7III a lot more. Plus, I'm doing photos more now lately. So it's a hybrid. So
I'm going to go back in time a few years here for a moment. So the first photo shoot that I ever did at Bands, you were there doing it. Yeah.
So Justin Wade?
No, it was Frank Vieira.
Frank Vieira. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it was I'd been doing photos, but that was my first paid gig. And I was really panicked. And Fernando was there as First Angel Media also, and it calmed me down. And now I've been doing it all the time. But my question for you is what were you shooting with that night? Do you remember?
That was the Sony A6400 using. Yeah, it was my A6400 using my first Sony Prime lens. Who put that? Oh, I'm sorry, I got distracted. It was A6400. Used my first prime lens, the 32mm, Sigma 32mm. Now I literally got that prime lens the day before just for that set because I was like, that was my dream. I want to get a Sigma lens. I finally got the glass, and that was my first official prime lens for a crop frame sensor. It was amazing. So,
yeah, that was my first paid gig, and I wasn't really supposed to be there.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Jonna, but she got food poisoning.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Right.
And all the other photographers were out shooting something else, and I was like, I guess I can do it. And it worked out.
Yeah. It was a fun night.
I did get a lot of shots of Fernando, though, because, you know, it was first time and I wasn't real good at getting him out of frame. What's your main goal with 3BT? Are you doing the just like film competitions, or, you know, what's the end goal here?
So the goal, I would say for us is like, we want to hit Netflix.
Yeah. So our main goal as of right now, probably within the next year, maybe year and a half to try to get some of our projects onto Netflix, Hulu, all like the mainstreaming platforms, just so we can like start to get more of a buzz out there saying like, hey, this is our production. This is what we can do. And hopefully with a lot of people watching it, they'll like gravitate towards us. They're like, hey, these guys do more than just do film, stuff like that. They also do, for example, photo shoots. You know, Fernando, he does cinematography for bands, stuff like that. Just to build more than focusing on them, like focusing more than just one thing in general, just to make us a little bit bigger known. So that's the main goal. Hopefully that works out, which it will. It definitely will.
Now I'm curious, how, like, what's what are the steps you have to go through to get onto like a streaming platform like that?
That's an amazing question. That's an amazing question. Let's go to the next one.
I finally, you have to, how far as I've noticed, it's like you have to have a good story and a pitch. But the pitch also has to have a Bible, because you're not just going to pick anything. And then you also have to also give it to someone that will help you market it through streaming. We're still trying to figure it out, in all honesty. I'm just freeballing on top of my head. There's like a few steps that are like not hard, but you have to jump through circles just to get to that point. You have to find someone that has like, that feels as though that they can actually promote your work. And then they start moving around saying like, hey, have you heard of this film, this company? You should go ahead and just give it a look. It's going to take a little while as a process, but yeah, it's going to be a long road.
So it's kind of like, kind of like my podcast. When I first started, it was one place, and now, as you heard, it's all over the world.
Nice. Yeah, I heard that too.
Now keep in mind, that's 18 years.
Wow, you've been doing this for 18 years.
Yep, since 2004.
Wow. Damn. You are still pushing. Well, yeah, because you did it for so long. People started hearing your name and the buzz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. Mm.
Nice. The Build a Scene website gets about 250,000 hits a month right now.
Oh, wow.
Which, for, you know, I'm pushing local musicians out of the Pittsburgh area, which is definitely a niche. So I will take 250,000 hits from now until I'm done. That's a big number for what when I started, I wasn't thinking that.
That's a huge
hit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Zane's back.
I got my ice cream too.
It's a win-win. What flavor?
Pina colada.
Oh, that's right. You were talking about that, right?
So you're gonna let me try it, right?
What?
You let us try it, right?
Let's finish this
first. Okay.
That was a no.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, Zane, so while you were gone, we talked about Fernando's work with First Angel Media and local bands, and a little bit about what you guys are doing. And they told me that you were the writer. So I have a question about your writing process. How do you come up with the storyline for the films you guys do?
That is an awesome question. I'm glad you asked it. I usually just talk to myself a lot, or I go on night walks. I'll just walk around and I'll figure out what characters are supposed to say. Or I'll put myself in really weird situations. Like with Lore, I was like, what if someone called me and said they're going to kill someone? And then I went from there. That's pretty much it. Yeah, it's a lot of me just talking to myself. I mean, it is fun, though, like becoming other people, other characters, and giving them dialogue and context and stuff like that, and then putting a storyline together. I always know what I want to do in the beginning of a movie and at the end, and then I fill it with other stuff as I write. I usually let the characters tell me what they're going to happen.
Now, how about kind of like being a teacher, I have to ask the education question. What's your, all three of you, what's your background that got you to this point?
You want to start off first? how the story goes is I actually went to college for graphic design, but I did the whole try to find a career path and trying to find a job right out of college as an average college kid would do. Didn't work out. So I felt like it wasn't for me. So I ended up going back to my old day job. Only had $3 in my name, and I was depressed. But then I started to think back, like, I'll never forget this. Like, I remember I was like taking myself for a walk. Like I was saying, I was talking about earlier. I was going for a walk, and I'd never been in this area before. I was going for a walk, and I was like, there was like these big ass freaking houses, and I was like, I want that shit. But like, if I want that, I need to figure out how to get there. So I would think back when I was, what made me happy. So I thought about like, what about film and whatnot? Because like, I remember running past this school called Life Film School and a full-time filmmaker and whatnot. And I thought, I don't know, what the hell? So I scrambled up the money that I had my old day job. I got it when I got, and I got my first class from Light Film School back when they had a music video production program. So I got my certificate from that, and I did my first music video with 3U Infinity, and the music video was called Keep Sin. Funny story, though, I broke my hand on the day that I freaking was supposed to shoot the music video. And the gimbal itself, I was shooting with a Nikon D3300. The autofocus is crap. So I literally had to manual everything with one hand.
With one hand.
Yeah, but you would see the music video, you would never believe that. And that was all I had. So I gave it to Twisted Fate Productions, what I'm sure you're aware of.
I am.
They are. And they were
Jerry and Joya.
Yeah, like I sent them an email saying, like, is there a way that there's an internship or something that I can go to? Do you guys have? I'd love to get more into the music industry. They said no, but we do know First Angel Media. And then I met y'all from First Angel Media, which Jonna was telling me saying, hey, so we're doing a documentary called Bill by the Scene. Would you like to film it? Hell yeah, I would. So I did that documentary. And then after that, they pitched me to a band called Tropodelic. And that was my first live show. And I did literally for $80 for like 8 hours straight. I didn't know how to freaking charge myself at the time. And it was so frightening because I didn't know if we were allowed to be on stage, like how you were when you were shooting your first concert photography. Like it was frightening. Like for me, it was the same exact thing. And if you see the vlog, my YouTube channel, make sure to like and subscribe. You see the camera, the lead singer, like pointing,
telling you to come,
you know, stage. And then I ran on the stage and I saw a wave of people and I was like, damn. So this is what it's like to be like a musician, like to be in their shoes. Because I remember when I was younger, I was like, I would love to be, it didn't happen that well, but now I'm just doing my free time for fun. But now here I am making music videos to help people achieve the dreams I always wanted when I was younger through film. make them music videos, promos, recaps, documentaries to help to make their dream come true. You know what I'm saying? So at that moment, I was like, shoot, I don't want to stop. It can be heavy on my back sometimes, but, you know, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
That's I get it. That night with Frank's show, up until I got home and threw it in Lightroom, I still wasn't sure that I did what I was supposed to. And then once it was in Lightroom, I was like, hey, those are good. And so I get it.
Yeah, it was fun.
But I went from shooting with the Fujifilm.
Oh, S, Fuji.
Yeah. Wow. But it was... I have not touched it since the Canon showed up. It's in a bag in my room.
Wow.
It said it was a DSLR. It was not.
Oh, wasn't? What was it?
No.
Mirrorless?
The lens did. You couldn't change lenses.
Oh, it was like point of shoot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it said it was DSLR. Never mind. I'm getting dyslexic now. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
dude. But you know, and when I had it, I thought I was getting good pictures, and then Jonna sent me the Canon, and I shot with the Canon, and I was like just the difference. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it doesn't get used at all.
Damn.
But all right. So, what about you, Charlie and Zane? How did you get to this point?
So I'm going to just summarize it, and I'll just jump into where, like, the meat and potatoes of it. When I was a kid, I actually did a play. Well, not really a play, but it was for what Disney movie? The Jungle
Book. Little Mermaid.
No, not The Little Mermaid. It was The Jungle Book, and I played Baloo. When I was a kid, I just loved acting. Stop it. Anyway, I don't want to be dressed up as Ariel. But anyway, where it really started was back in college, because I went to the University of Pittsburgh and I did theater. And my professor, she had asked me to come in front of the class because we were all doing like an improv in front of the class. She had plastic containers, these filing containers. She's like, okay, just come up with whatever scenario and run with it. And I did. So I used the filing cabinets, the plastic filing cabinets, as skis. So I did the facial reaction. I put the gargles on and I just started skiing down the slope. And she was like, that was pretty good. You just thought about that on the fly? I said, yeah, this was really easy. Like, it's not that hard. She's like, have you ever considered acting in general? And I'm like, not really, but I mean, I always wanted to get into it. So from then, after I graduated in 2015, I went straight into like just jumping into any film as possible. I was a background extra in a lot of films. What was it? The Dark Knight Rises I got into. I was in WGN's The Outsiders. What was it? There's so many. There's like a few of them I was like an extra for. But a lot of people were telling me on set, if you want to do more than this, you're going to have to like speak. You're going to have to learn lines, everything else. From then on, I tried to get into the independent market, started acting for this one film before I met Fernando. Because Fernando was like the jump start, which was, what was it? The Cottage, right? Yeah, it was for The Cottage, which that...
It was an epic fail.
Yeah, it was a fail, man. But it was a blessing in it because that's how I met him. And then we made a project during the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Genocide. And I produced it. I found a location, which was my job, which I work currently now. And Fernando's like, I love the area. Like, this will be a great, like, thriller, semi-horror film.
And we just I watched that one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That was our very first project.
It was like in a warehouse.
Yeah. Maybe?
Yeah, I did watch that one.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was our first project. And then from there, we met, Fernando introduced me to this guy, Zane, for his web series, Spellbound. And then from that point, we just all came together as a unit. And we said, hey, why don't we just start making our own projects? You know, I'll be the actor, producer. And then Zane is the writer, also producer, director. And Fernando, he does all of the above. So it's great because I'm learning from both of them, like writing from Zane, also directing from Fernando, cinematography from Fernando, direct like everything from each person. So we're all learning from each other and we're all trying to build. So yeah, that's how it all started.
So I do have a question for you. Okay. In the Dark Knight Rises, what part did you have?
The fight scene. So do you know
on the City Hall steps?
City Hall steps, yeah.
You are the second person I know that's in that scene.
Really?
Yep. The other one was I don't know what he's going by now, but his name was PJ Ross when I was growing up.
It sounds so familiar. I may have met him briefly, but
at one point when Batman is fighting with why am I blanking on villain's name?
Bane,
yes, thank you. You can see him in the background for like a split second. If you didn't know to look, you wouldn't know it was him.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what I hate about being an extra, because there's so many of you. And then, especially if you don't know how extras work, when you finally see the film, you're like, yes, I get to see myself. And you're like, wait, I just see a foot. I just see my hand, maybe. I'm like, really? This is how they did me? Okay, I guess... we're just going to have to try again on something else. I love it, but then hit at the same time because you think that you're going to see something, but you don't. So,
yeah, he grew up two houses down from me. So I haven't talked to him in person in a few years, but I was like, he told me he was in it. And I'm like, no, you're not. And then I watched and he's like, watch this scene. I'm like, that was you.
That's amazing.
Hey, Zane, you're up, even though you keep trying to put it off.
Yes. So, I've been writing for a while. It did start when I was really young, at like 13, maybe 12. I don't know. But I would write short stories in school. And I just kind of taught myself how to write scripts, kind of take those short stories and turn them into short scripts. And then I would read other people's scripts online to see how to format it correctly. Pretty much taught myself to write scripts from there. I don't learn by seeing or something. I have to do it to really counter it down. So to figure out how to direct, the only way for me to figure it out was to do it. So that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to try to do a web series based on a short story I wrote. And that's how I met both of them, Mr. Spellbound. But I didn't write anything for them until we did Odium, which was the 48-hour film festival we did together. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I was like writing for them too, because Fernando directed that. I guess the first time I really saw like a movie I really loved and was like, oh, okay, maybe I should do movies, was Titanic. Because that scene where Rose is looking up at Jack before she jumps back on the boat, it's iconic to me, like the music and everything. You can, without saying a word, they said so much. With Jack looking down, I'm like, oh man, I'm about to die. Rose looking up, like, we're not about to die alone. Let's jump back on. Love that. It's pretty much that. Really fun. Really, really full adventure, I would say.
But, it is.
And Carrie. I love Carrie. So, if I could ever remake Carrie, that would be like a high point for me. You know, like the part where they have to like splash blood on her? I always joke, and I'm not really joking, that we would have to do like 10 takes of that. All right, go clean her up, but come back out because we need to do another take of you being splashed with blood.
So, I'm trying to think how to bring this back to the music scene, other than I'm assuming you guys have musical scores for your films as well, right?
Yes.
So if bands were interested in contacting you about having their music in a film, is that something that could happen?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Shoot. For Parallel.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, because Parallel, we're trying to, well, I'll let Fernando talk more about it because this is his baby, his project, so I'll let him go.
He doesn't look excited at all.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Because the whole concept for Parallel, like originally it was supposed to be a book, but then Zane convinced me to turn it into a film. And then as I was writing it, I was like, this seems like it would be better as a series. So I wrote it. I wrote it in the weekend, and then I sent Zane to look at it because he's better writing me. So I wrote the meat and potatoes, and I wrote the meat and potatoes, and I got the base of it. But he looked at it and said, "What if we did this? What if we did this? What if we did this?" And then all of a sudden, we went back and forth, back and forth. And that was actually our first collaboration in writing, actually, I believe. Our official collaboration. And then the concept for Parallel is supposed to be a punk rock type of style. So if there's punk rock artists that are out there that want to be a part of this web series, we would really appreciate it. You would really appreciate it.
And how could they get a hold of you?
Oh, so you can contact me. You can contact me on Facebook, Instagram, under Fernando De La Cruz Films.
And there's that too, right?
Oh. Oh, hey, yo, our Facebook.
Oh, BBT. That's awesome.
That's our Facebook?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
that's so cool.
That's an awful lot of numbers there, though. So if you guys want to see the address, you can take a look at the video. And I will also put it in the show notes on buildthescene.com. There'll be a link directly to that so that people can get in contact with you that way. Is there an email address that they can use?
No, not yet. We just we're still starting to build on it. So we're still trying to make all the social medias for it. But we do have a Facebook for it and an Instagram as well. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I found half of it then.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're good. But yeah.
All right. So I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me on episode 604. Mm-hmm.
604?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For a hot minute, man. You missed it. You said 18?
Yeah, I'm going to September 14th will be 18 years.
18 years. Rolling. Wow. Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. We need to get on that level. Just consistency, man.
Everyone else, make sure you hang out and listen to some more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Make sure you check us out on all the stations I mentioned at the beginning. You can see three questions of the song on the 1st and 15th of each month. Pennsylvania Rock Show that you're listening to right now is every Friday for release date. And then Friendly Fire happens one Saturday a month. The next one is probably going to be February 26th. That one's a little more fluid because it works with four different people's schedules. But it usually is at 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. United Kingdom, which is GMT, I believe. And it runs about 2 hours. Anyway, episode 604. We'll check you out next time.
It's taking away. We'll be right back.
Save you this time, 'cause my heart stepped over the line. I This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.